The opinions expressed on the following audio program are solely those of the host and the guests. Byrna Podcast is an independently produced, not-for-profit show and is not associated with the Burning Man organization or its subsidiaries. The views expressed are not representative of the entire Burning Man community and are presented here for entertainment purposes only. In short, calm the fuck down. It's just a podcast.
All right. It is episode number 64, and it is 30 days till the man burns as of this recording. Hey, you know what's gotten lame and cliche? Me bitching about not being ready. Not gonna do it. Not that into act. Nah, nope, it's not gonna happen. Nope. Shout out to Mahiar Alayari. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Out of Orange County, Mahiar reached out after discovering the show through, I think it was through Facebook. Always good to connect with another Persian burner. And he just like looks majestic as fuck in his photos, by the way. Like just some sort of a like burner desert god. Which coincidentally, there will be another one, like a Persian burner, on today's episode, which I'm going to get to in just a minute. So as you regular or longtime listeners know, we normally do this pre-playa planner episode, lots of peas in it, of the cast. You know, all the cool peeps be calling it the cast for short. No, nobody calls it that. Nobody calls it the cast. You might actually get punched if you call it the cast. No, every year we do this pre-playa episode. And by every year, I mean, you know, like two, because for 2 years we've been doing this pre-playa episode. And normally it's our own team. It's like our staff that join us. Last year we even had like retired staff, like Alpi, our original online editor, call in and record some recommendations of shit to check out on Playa. That's the tradition, you know, and then the other tradition that we have is where we just skip a show while we're out at Burning Man. That's right, by the way, we've already been on long enough to have staff turnaround. That's how long we've been on the digital airwaves. This year, though, I'm like the only one going. So I don't know what happened. A couple of us are headed over to the Oregon Eclipse event that's happening, which if you haven't heard about it, if you're in another part of the world where you haven't heard it, I mean, over here, we're hearing about it left and fucking right. But, you know, there's this once or twice in a lifetime eclipse, solar eclipse thing that's happening. I couldn't tell you much about it. It's a solar eclipse, right? And you can see it perfectly from certain locations in the world. And I guess like a whole bunch of event production companies got together and they're throwing this epic, massive festival. And that event is happening like right before the burn, like a couple of weeks before the burn, which means a lot of people are going to that festy and skipping the burn this year, which sounds kind of cool to me because, you know, Now, listen, I'm not saying every single person that's going to the Oregon Eclipse Festival is a sparkle pony. I'm just saying, and I could be totally, completely fucking wrong, that if I were a sparkle pony, which chances are high that I am, I would be more attracted to attending the shiny festival that the more shiny people are going to, because it's got like this like big gimmick to it, which, you know, again, I don't want to talk shit. If I had more available time and wasn't working on the Journey project, I may have made the trek to Oregon as well. But anyway, it's possible that the demographics of Black Rock City will be affected this year, skewing possibly towards some more old school burners and international types. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, I don't know, there's kind of a gimmick to it, I guess, and it's connected to all these production companies that do like big music festival type things, so it's attracting a little bit more of the dance floor crowd. Which, I don't know. I mean, it feels silly to stand here and say my partying is more important than your partying. And I could totally be pulling this out of my ass. No, In fact, I am. I am totally pulling this all out of my ass. It's what I'm telling myself in order to make myself feel a little better about not being able to attend every cool festival. But anyway, let's get back to today's topic. So since, like, no one from our staff is going this year. Yeah, I'm talking shit about our own staff. They're going to Oregon Eclipse and I'm not. I'm going to Burning Man. Everyone's going, but I don't know. Nobody else is going but me to Burning Man this year. Instead of making it a staff episode, we reached out to our show's alumni and brought on a motley crew of familiar voices to dance on your eardrums. I guess that's an interesting transition. I'm sorry, I'm talking shit about Oregon Eclipse. I totally would go. But, you know, if I was a Sparkle Pony, I'd probably go to Oregon Eclipse rather than the Burn. But ideally, I'd just go to both. That would be pretty fucking cool to be. You know, let's just get into today's stuff. First up, it's Kim Eisenberg, the camp lead emeritus. I think that's how you pronounce that. Which is not like a title, by the way. I just wrote that on there because I think you're supposed to write that about like people who step down from leadership or something. Of Uli Baba and the Horny Thieves, whom you can get to know intimately by checking out episode number 19 of this very show, where we talk to Kim about Uli Baba's history and we talk about consent culture and we also talk about some career counseling type stuff. So that's episode number 19 of this show where you can get to know Kim. Kim has been back on a couple of times since. She was at that time running for the board of directors for SDCAP, the San Diego Collaborative Arts something. And she is now on the board of SDCAP. But anyway, she's been on the show a couple of times. She's alumni. Then we've got the legendary Payam, whose voice will sound familiar from episode number 13, the slow-moving car accident that was the Electric Poncho episode of this show. That would be the one where we had to take multiple pee breaks because we're all drinking so much that we needed to keep peeing. And I'll mention this in the interview, but this is an important part of Burning Man history, and I need to bring it up to make sure you hear it. You ever go into those porta potties and see that "fuck you, Payam" written on the walls? It's just like the most random thing, right? Well, that's this guy, whose voice you're about to hear. People who've never even met Payam have written "fuck you, Payam" as like this meme, this graffiti thing, in random places. So there you go. What an honor this must be for you, the listener. And then there's executive producer Meg, who shouldn't need an introduction at this point, but for those uninitiated, she is in no small part responsible for this silly excuse of a podcast. She's been here with me from the beginning and really was a big chunk of the driving force for a big chunk of this show until she moved on up to higher level decision making at the executive level. And rounding up the panel is Lee Hemingway, the project manager of The Journey, which you can get to learn all about and you can get to know him on episode number 59. I ask the same basic questions every year from a different panel every year, mostly because I'm fucking lazy and I don't feel like coming up with new stuff. I know I'd half promised you guys a Tree of Tenere episode this week, but Zachary Smith, the creator of the project who was supposed to be on, had to reschedule because the man fucking burns in fucking 30 fucking days and he's got a lot on his plate. And it wouldn't be a Burning Man art project if you weren't beyond swamped and freaking out and ready to just set the fucking thing on fire 2 weeks before the gates open. And no, I'm totally not projecting my own frustrations with The Journey onto the Tree of Tenere. I wouldn't dream of it. That's just, you know, that's not something I would do. We'll still be gushing about the Tree of Tenere today anyway, by the way. Yay. And we'll have the leads from the Tree of Tenere on in a newer future episode to tell the whole story about their giant wooden erection on Playa. So we'll definitely make that happen after the Burn, of course, in the coming months. I really, really need to start packing. Today's episode is entitled The 2017 Burning Man Pre-Playa Planner. That's the name. I go by Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. Welcome. to Burner Podcast.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the lights. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sands and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, because there ain't no one for the kids.
I should not go to the burn and stay here
and take care of the cats.
Yeah, that might actually be a better burn for me.
Burning cats. not actually burning them.
I'd love to see you about 2 days while they've been there building your shit for 2 days, and the look on your face of like, I need to go
really
right now.
Panic. Yeah.
You weren't good when we were standing there watching them build it, Lee.
I know. But I do sit out for them putting in the floor, the final act of putting in the floor. I do sit out for that quite nicely.
Sitting out quite nicely is a talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to, perfect the art of being there for the most important visible things to make it seem like you're doing a lot.
This is what? You're already recording. And
oh, he's been recording for a minute.
Yeah.
I knew that it started a minute ago. I was pretty sure. I was 99% sure, not 99% bananas, but 99% sure.
No, just 99
bananas,
not percentages.
And then the way you said that just now, you fucker.
Yeah, no, I'm really good at that.
You're recording, yeah.
Oh,
he's
sure.
Really good at fucking?
Yes, that too. But no, specifically making it
wow,
seem like
hang on, just a minute.
I'm there for just the right moment, to be able to lift the heaviest thing in front of the most people, and then get the credit and walk away.
Make sure somebody takes your picture while you're really straining your
chest. I made sure that I took excellent pictures at Saguaro Man of Arash looking like he was doing something.
Saguaro Man.
No G.
Mr. Mom said that he will, dick punch me or something if I say the G again.
Which Mr. Mom?
It's better than fist punching.
Robert.
Oh, okay.
the
and that's, super fair since he's fucking
It just depends on who you are.
What's
our experience?
Saguaro Man.
Saguaro.
Apparently in Arizona, they don't pronounce
is that. Which regional is that? You guys went to regional?
It's an Arizona regional burn.
One Arizona regional.
Because before that, there was another one called Toast. And they had, the effigy was a giant slice of toast.
That's adorable.
With the smiley face. It was so cute. Yeah.
Is the Burning Man logo in the toast? Is the man in the toast somewhere?
I don't even know. I mean, no. There was no Burning Man logo or anything. It wasn't a man. It was just a giant slice of toast. There was nothing mannish about it.
It's super symbolic of living in Arizona.
Why?
Because you're fucking toast if you live there year-round.
Because you are bread.
Oh, I finally
made
that connection.
Of bread.
Thank you. Wake up, Arash.
No.
Well, this is why we have guests, because I obviously don't have the answers. But welcome, everybody, to the show.
Yay, show.
Yay, show.
Don't go to Burning Man. It fucking sucks.
It does fucking suck. It's
but
fucking hot. There's bugs.
Bring
bugs.
Plenty
there
of bottles
bugs.
Of 99 bananas to buy them at the banana stand 2 o'clock
and
D.
2 o'clock and D.
Go bananas.
The banana stand is at 2 and D?
Yes.
That's
with
where
everything else in Gonzo Village, which I will happily tell you all about when we get to my turn.
Nice. No, the
wait,
2 and, two and
get
D.
My turn, you're not going
your
this
turn?
Year.
Our turn.
Okay,
we can equally talk about the unholy matrimony of bats and ants on
that's
Playa.
Fine. No, because 2 and D was exactly where Cabino Xura was last year.
Oh. Yeah, it's crap placement.
Well, I mean,
you're
not.
Do you want to talk about crap placement?
Your crap placement is your fault, though.
Well, yeah,
that 2 and D is great placement.
2&D is going to be great placement for the banana stand. It was awful placement for Kabino Egg Zero.
I don't know what
because
that
we were trying to collect like deep insightful stories from.
Oh
Playa.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, that's like sound camp. Like come by, get as hammered as you want.
Yeah,
and probably yelled at by multiple people.
Well, we got all these recordings, and like the reason that those recordings have not been put up yet, which they will, I swear to God.
oh my God, they won't. It's a year later. Yeah. We haven't done it yet. Producer Megan and Raj have failed.
Still going to do it. So, no, but the thing is...
Wait,
the,
what
the
recordings did you get? Can we use them for the journey?
Oh my God. Oh my God. This sounds like a horrible plan.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Think about that. So Kabino Egg Zero...
This is how dreams become reality.
People. Kabino Egg Zero was a recording booth that we took out to the Playa that we had like prompts where people would like give input and stories, and they would be used on future episodes of Burner Podcast.
Which we haven't done.
Right. The primary challenge was that as the week and the nights went on, it was more just a clusterfuck of like people stumbling in there and like yelling shit. In a drunkenness, and in the background, you're just hearing like the thumping.
Yeah, but that was just Romero and Paul.
Yeah, for the most part.
It was just Romero and Paul, like and Godard.
Yeah.
Godard, like Godarian.
There was a handful of thoughtful recordings. One of which was Martin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was pretty much.
Weren't they supposed to be anonymous? How do you know?
Did
it was Martin?
Did he say nice things about me?
No.
Oh, that's bullshit.
You didn't even bring that up. All
right. See how it is. Not like Kim is amazing. She's the best camp leader ever.
No, none of that.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
You pretty much didn't even exist.
I'm pretty sure Paul didn't say that either. And he was in your camp last year, too.
See how it is. Okay.
Well, good. Now that everybody's gotten all the banter out of the way. What?
As if.
Are you kidding me?
No, from now on, it's strictly business. The rest of this podcast is completely serious.
My wine glass is empty.
What?
That's serious business.
You said half a glass. Guys, followed by another half a glass.
So
and so on.
Mr. Rosh,
so
are you going to introduce who's on this shit show of a podcast?
No, this is the thing that I was going to do. I was going to go around the room and have you introduce yourselves.
Look at how cute that
cat is. I feel like I'm at work,
being.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's freaking adorable right there.
In fact, what is the most workish prompt I could give you?
Okay,
you're gonna say your name.
Oh my God.
You're gonna say your camp association. And you're gonna say what your favorite thing to mix 99 bananas with is.
Okay, that's cool. Start
with you.
My name is Kim, and my camp affiliation is Uli Baba's. And my favorite thing to mix 99 bananas with is the patient charts at the psychiatric hospital where I work, which is where I learned what 99 bananas was.
Excellent.
Brilliant. That's pretty good.
Lovely.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Brilliant. Yeah, that was just a moment of beauty where everything just coalesced and,
Ooh, I don't even know what the word coalesced means, but it already took this podcast in a bubble. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Funny things. Okay, go.
Sounds fantastic. My name's Payam. I am a miscreant, and my favorite thing to mix 99 bananas with is an actual banana.
Really?
Yeah, we call it 100 bananas. So what happens is there's a bowl, we slice a banana into the bowl, you pour 99 bananas over the bananas.
Oh no.
And then the drink is you take a drink from the bowl, then we feed you a slice of banana.
Oh my God.
100 bananas.
This is giving me the idea right now that I would actually really like to get some 99 bananas and throw it into the banana shake that I make. Like, with the mixer and, like, some almond milk.
Yeah.
And that actually would be pretty fucking delicious.
There's actually a drink that Paisley invented. I think it was, like, the banana cream milkshake or something like that. And where she would pour 99 bananas and then creme de cacao or something into the person's mouth and then shake their face.
Yeah.
I love Paisley so much. Paisley, I love you. And, I swear to God.
And so, yeah, those are two of the drinks that we'll be serving at Go Bananas at 2 o'clock in D.
In the middle of Gonzo Village.
At Burning Man 2017.
Yeah. And the way that I would remind people about 2&D, it's peace and dick. That's how I was.
Two and dick.
So you get a piece of dick.
Piece
with 100 bananas.
No.
peace.
Oh,
All of the street signs will be altered to say dick, by the way.
All of them. Surprise of the goddamn
All of them, even ones that aren't for D Street?
No, just
for... No, every sign on Playa. Every sign on
I mean, that would be a feat.
There's not even any D's in the sign. It just says dick.
Somebody made the stickers, I'll do it.
I'm sorry, this is just completely a random side note. At Desert Hearts, I think I ran into Anthony, like, outside. By the way, this Payam, if you're listening to this, when you see in, like, the porta-potties and random places on Playa where it says, fuck you, Payam, this is the Payam that they're referring to.
Yeah, that's me.
Payam actually has no, like... He's not the one doing that. There's just, at this point, it's just picked up all around, like, random people doing it as well, I think.
Random burner meme.
I did make pins, though, and if you do catch me on the Playa, I may or may not give you one.
Oh, okay.
Fuck you, Payam.
That's what it's
not, like,
says.
One of those things. Are you, like, one of those people who, like, writes a meme and then, like, quotes yourself?
You know, I just kind of let this take off, and now that I'm perpetuating it, yes.
Dude, at Desert Hearts, I run into Anthony, like, standing outside the porta-potties, like, all this giant line of porta-potties. And I'm just, like, chatting up with him, like, hey, so what are you up to? He's like, you see all these fucking porta-potties? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to go ride the fuck you, Payam, in every single porta-potty. And then I just start cracking up, right? And I start walking away, and just I hear over my shoulder him sigh to himself, oh, I'm going to be here for a while.
Love that. Our friends are assholes.
All right. Meg.
I am producer Meg. I've been
executive
on the show
producer Meg
227 billion times. Mm. All the shows we haven't recorded yet, I'm counting those. Yeah. I am loosely affiliated with multiple camps. Right now, before the burn, I am most miscreant, as opposed to any of the other things that I am polycamperous with.
Woo!
My favorite thing to do with 99 bananas is to pour it into a beautiful Tori Amos-shaped bowl, put Payam, who doesn't exist, cereal into it, and pour the 99 bananas on top of it and shove it down his throat.
Payam's had some practice with that.
Sounds pretty kinky, man.
Well, Payam, you know how I feel about most of the ants.
It's okay. The bananas are like, if they have just the right amount of slime, they could, slide
self-lubricating.
In there.
Self-lubricating.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds
make you gag just a little bit.
Horrifyingly delicious.
Make you vomit back up some of that 99 bananas right on top of the banana.
I don't think I've ever puked 99 bananas.
Two Payams, one cup.
It probably wouldn't taste as bad as it does going down, coming back up.
Probably.
Yeah. I might actually just name this show 99 Bananas.
I think the show has already named itself 99 Bananas, and you can do whatever the fuck you want later.
Please.
Yeah, what? I forgot the question at this point.
Who are you? Where do you camp?
You just said I'm Lee.
What the fuck do you want to do with 99 bananas?
The point is for the listeners to hear a voice and associate a name with it.
Oh, yeah. I'm Lee, obviously. I camp with the Journey Home. We're at the ungodly placement of 715 and I. But we're in our support
There's
camp.
There's an I.
There's an I. It's right before Gerlach.
You can come visit us at Uli Baba's on the 730 Plaza on your way to everywhere.
Yeah, on the way to everywhere.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It'll be a convenient stop to say hello when you want to go anywhere at all.
Yeah, and actually we're doing some activities over there at the 730 Plaza with Celestial Bodies.
Excellent.
We're doing an artist talk over there on Monday, and we're doing a spin art bike over there. But we're also having three of our rings at our place over there at 715 and I. We're doing a couple of artist talks.
No one's coming out there, Lee.
Cállate, puta! We're doing foot washing and lotioning of feet.
All right.
Oh, ladies
Come
and gentlemen.
Come on over.
Head on out to, I.
You would come out to I for that.
You guys have somebody actually dressed as Jesus, right? Washing people's feet.
Oh, look how long my hair's getting. Look how long my beard is.
Been growing this shit out for?
Dude, please. I'm going to re-dye my hair.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Anyway, I'm going to come there for some wine.
You're part of that artist panel one day.
Okay, yeah. I'm not washing feet, though.
No. No, Denise Lozano is going to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway.
She's got strong hands. I want to get my feet washed by her, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Since I've never had 99 bananas and really never really knew about 99 bananas, I guess my favorite thing... is 100 bananas.
And Lee only doesn't know about 99 bananas because it's really not a gay drink, dude.
No, it's not.
It's super not a gay drink.
99 bananas is something that you regretfully drink in high school.
I don't even know what a gay drink is. I grew up Mormon.
Shut up!
Merciful goddess.
Nope. No mercy for you. You called each one of us and asked us to be here tonight. Get over it.
Yeah, okay, alright. Well, for the non-regular listeners, I've already done all this intro. By the way, I've already introduced you guys before the intro thing anyway.
Yeah,
the whole voice thing. But as always, we're doing the thing where we go through these questions, where there are some things that people could potentially look to check out once they get on Flya.
Questions?
Huh?
What? No. Didn't we just do questions?
No, the real questions that the podcast are about. Jesus fucking Christ, Lee.
Lord. All right, it's going to be one of those shows, and I'm not going to...
Don't edit this
lie,
at
the wine,
all.
I know, I don't, of course
don't,
not.
Just put it straight on the air.
I just want to let you guys know that the wine is hitting me hard right now, too.
Yeah, my glass is still fucking empty.
I know. We should tell, the associate producer to come bring you some. Oh, nope, there's none here. Look, we're going to get to the first question.
Whatever, I'm the executive producer. You're just the talent. Give me some wine.
Just the talent. Let's get to the first question. I'm going to start with Kim, and then we're going to work our way around the room, and then in an hour and a half, we'll be done. So,
excellent.
You guys have been prepped with some of these prompts. Kim, what is an interesting camp to find and explore on Playa? Other than Uli Baba and the horny
things. I can't just give Uli Babas as my answer to everything.
No.
You can, but she'll be boring.
I know. Okay.
And you're not boring.
I mean,
she's super not boring.
So, wow, and you're just going to leave and go get wine without even...
Because wine.
This is some bullshit.
He's listening. He's
you know,
listening
Arash, I don't feel heard.
I swear to God. I'm hurting you, I swear. I heard it all.
What do you get when you...
I would recommend... I meant to do it for years. I finally did it last year. I was really pleased about it. I have no idea where they're going to be placed, but the camp is called Genital Portrait Studio. Mm. And I'm a really big fan of body positive art, and Genital Portrait Studio is exactly what it sounds like. And so I now have what looks like a laminated driver's license with a clippy thing on it, or I guess it's more like a work ID badge, that is a picture of my vulva. And nice. I fucking love that thing. And
I bet it comes in handy, too.
It does, you know, if people are like trying
those
to
those times
ID
when you
me.
Have to ID
yeah.
your vulva.
Yeah. So,
it's the way dogs interact with each other.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, there it is. That's you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the ID. Like, you don't, it's not a scratch and sniff.
It's not a scratch
ID.
And sniff. Oh,
it's,
thank
it's
God.
It's just a laminated photograph, but, you know, and then it says Genital Portrait Studio on it. It's got my identifying, you know, like my name and stuff. And I just, they do good work there, man.
I've seen the IDs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How is the setup? Like, is it a booth you walk into? What does it look like?
There was some sort of indoor-ish kind of space because, you know, it's for adults only. Mm. And so, yeah, you walk in, they've got the photographs developing and on the wall and stuff, you know, from people that have had them done before.
Because they're Polaroids?
They're not. No, they had a photo printer.
Okay.
It was a digital photo, and they did a photo printing and then laminated it for me.
Nice,
And so, yeah, you got to kind of look at, like, the different options for aesthetic choices, and then the photographer guided me over to a bed, bench, whatever, and, you know, asked me what I wanted, because people do, they'll do, you know, full body shots from far away where they're, you know, exposing themselves, and, you know, I just had this vision that I really wanted, like, a close-up of labia and all that.
So there's a photographer with a camera.
Oh, yeah, like some...
Do they zoom in or do they physically come close to you?
He physically got pretty close. So, you know, he asked me what I wanted and I explained that I wanted this whole vulva close-up, you know, with my labia spread apart. And, yeah, he got up in there and, you know, I was like wearing a short skirt or whatever. So I just pulled it up and he got up in there and took the picture and, you know, showed it to me on the screen and made sure that was what I wanted. And I was like, fuck yeah. And, you know, 5 minutes later, I had my Genital Portrait Studio ID card.
Fucking
and,
props
yeah.
to Kim for knocking that answer right out of the park.
Right.
Damn.
All you fuckers are going to need
let
to keep
on the internet.
I don't think that anything anybody else says.
Yeah.
But really, I highly encourage everyone to go there, get a picture of your genitalia, wear it proudly. That is one of my favorite things about Burning Man is you can find things like that you never knew that you needed, but you absolutely need them.
Well,
Kim's definition of need and mine are so different.
Well, I want to know, what do you think, like, the message behind that art is? Is it just, like, playfulness? Is body positivity? What do you...
I think it's all of the above. And I say that, here's where I'm going to work in Uli Baba's plug. We have an event at our camp that historically has been called Pussy Prints and Cock Cards, where we give people cardstock and paint and allow them to do genital imprint art. And this year we've upgraded it. We're calling it Bubbles, Beavers, and Boners because we're going to do it in the morning and give out mimosas at the same time.
Well, that makes it better.
Yeah, and we're also going to make a quilt of people who don't want their own, you know, card. They just want to give us their quilt imprint on some squares of cloth. So being a part of a camp that hosts that kind of event, over the years, watching people come in and out of our tent for that particular event has been a really powerful experience for me, because people relate to it in all sorts of different ways. For some people, it is playful. For other people, it's sexual. For other people, you know, people have disclosed to us that they've been trauma and abuse survivors and that this was the first time that they were able to interact with their body in a way that felt like they were reclaiming it, and it was a powerful expression of their autonomy and their sense of body positivity. So I've really liked being a part of a camp that hosts that. And, you know, pussy prints and cock cards wind up being a little bit more abstract, but having an actual, you know, physical digital photo, I personally was attracted to the realism of it. You know, our society is super fucked up in the way we think about bodies and sexuality and normal human development across, you know, all of these different dimensions. And so to have a camp that really embraces that, whatever your genitals look like is beautiful. Here's a picture, wear it proudly. And I do wear it proudly at the burn. Yeah. And I just really like that. And so that's what it's about for me. Your mileage may vary. So,
I dig it. No, what I really like we're saying, what I really like about Burning Man is that you can have multiple different people come and get all those different experiences.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that one of them is actually like the correct answer. It's whatever it is to you. It's whatever, choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
And that's why people, I know, I'm a big fan of that. So, okay, Payam, beat that.
I'm gonna go ahead and say pass. The one camp that kind of stood out to me, and I've never actually visited this place, but it was called the Filthiest Camp Alive. And so I wanted to go check. I'm gonna check this place out this year. I have no idea where they're placed. But the description on the website, on the theme camp portion of the burningman.org little website thing here, says, "Come let your filth flag fly and explore the depths of your inner filth. We embrace the full spectrum of trash from sexy to dirty," in parentheses, literally. "We're here to steal the headline of most filthy camp. We're disgustingly dirty in the best ways." So
that was intriguing.
I'm just gonna go check them out and see exactly how far deep into the filth I can go.
So we don't know. Does anybody know anything about this camp?
They're from San Francisco.
Kind of sounds like the Down Low.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that camp either.
Yeah. So
you probably don't really want to go there.
Okay. I would like to know about the Down Low.
It's a queer camp with a sling in it, and it's just a good dirty time.
So this the filth camp, like, we really, nobody has any information on it.
No, never heard of it.
I just one of the ones.
Where are they placed?
It's just the thing that you scrolled into right now because you didn't prepare for the interview. Is that
that was one of the camps that I legitimately had on my notes here. I could show you the email.
Yeah, okay. You have it like time stamped where you did this earlier.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I have it time stamped.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck you, Arash.
Oh my fucking god.
I still feel like I'm at work.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Were you that kid that turned in the 5-page paper, like, on the day that it was due, like, double spaced and everything was 12.5 font so that you can spread it all out more and make sure that it, like,
I feel attacked right now.
Your right and left margins were
a lot of judgment.
I'm feeling very attacked.
I know. That's the way it works.
It's not his fault he went after Kim.
I know. That's a tough one to follow.
I know.
Just heard stuff about my favorite part of anybody's body anywhere.
So that was.
And there's this whiskey bar I want to check out called Hardly.
Well, no, we're going to get to the bar thing.
Oh.
That's later.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Hold on to that thought.
So I'm not going to Playa because fuck the burn.
Whatever.
By the way, I was aware of that. The reason that Meg is here is because Meg, like, does the fuck out of her homework.
Good so research.
I knew she was going to have a lot of information.
So I actually have two camps on my list, one of which I can talk about because it's not my camp. So Gonzo Village, 2 o'clock in D. It's like three fucking bars, two fucking stages, some kind of, like, pussy-ass fairy cuddle dome thing. an anteater art car that's not finished yet, but it's fucking going to be because I'm part of the crew for that shit, so it's going to be done in time.
How many people is that going to fit?
The art car?
Yeah.
As many bodies as we want to shove in the ass of that thing.
Yeah.
It easily is going to hold 10 to 12, just the way that, you know, like, that's comfortable and you're still dancing.
Yeah.
The way that Jake is likely to drive it around, it's going to be scraping its ass on the Playa as it goes.
Yeah.
Because Jake's going to want to shove everybody in the universe in there.
A lot of shoving happening with this particular...
It's the fucking unholy union of miscreants and backcountry. Shoving is required.
Shoving into the anus of an anteater.
Yes.
Got it.
And drinking hysterically ridiculous amounts of alcohol at the two flaming bars and some pussy ass banana thing.
So Gonzo Village is a combination of three camps.
It's miscreants. It's backcountry. It's a little like what they bring, what we bring, they bring to Utopia, where it's Fort Yeah, and miscreants and backcountry, just all kind of coming together.
Right.
Mostly because we're all dicks and we figure we should just protect one another that way.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. We are going to be doing a episode soon at some point where we can get into, like, the history of backcountry and miscreants. But
Jesus Christ,
we've randomly hinted at them quite a bit on this show, but never a cool, full on camp profile episode.
Full on everybody thing. Yeah. I'm not the one you want on that show. You want people who have actual longer, more respected history with both camps on that show.
We'll look at.
But it's a good time. It's a different time than what you're going to find at most other bar camps or sound camps on Playa. They're rough. They're there's going to be machetes on flaming bars. Yeah. There's going to be blood spitting. There's going to be all of the things that you've come to love from the ants and the bats. It's not friendly, fluffy unicorn bullshit time.
Is blood splitting okay on Playa?
Probably.
Is that considered moop?
I think blood would be moop if it hit the Playa. I think you have to shovel that up and take it out with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's happened in the past, though.
That's good.
We talked about it. Like,
you should
LNT
your blood.
Yeah, we talked about taking the dirt home. But I actually don't know if blood is on the packing list. I'm not going, so I don't fucking care.
Just tarp the ground.
It'll
look even more horror movie-ish.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, last shit show, we didn't have fake blood, but there were raw eggs, and people were throwing raw eggs at each other in lieu of fake blood.
Because when you don't have any fake blood, you gotta do something.
Good, because that smells bad.
Totally.
But the other camp that I put on my list, because they are kind of the fluffy rainbow unicorn happy game party, is Comfort and Joy. Comfort and Joy is located at 8 and D.
But that tent stank after a while.
Okay. Bitch, you took a bath at Colab with a fucking paper towel. Do not talk.
Well, I stank right now, too. Okay.
They are the kind of the fluffy, love, welcoming, so you can have both sides of your spectrum. They do a lot of aerial classes, silks, demonstrations, hands-on. You can get up there and play.
I have been to that camp
so many times.
Have you been in the tent?
I've never seen anybody there.
They're usually in the tent. look in the tent.
Don't.
I mean, it might scar you, but, you know, what the fuck ever.
It won't scar you, but don't.
Is it a big gay orgy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It's a big gay camp with big gay orgy with, you know, I mean, they do other things too.
Not really.
They do. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. What the fuck?
I'm the gay here.
My friend, my annual queer Playa date, Bobby, is at Comfort and Joy. And so shout out to Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Dye your hair pink, motherfucker.
I can tell you, like, Comfort and Joy is one of my favorite places to go ride around in at some point in the middle of the night where I just kind of like want some fluffy feelings, and you can like ride your bike through like the streamers and like it's got pleasant colors and
it's pretty and it's and they're friendly and it's you know when you've gone and gotten yourself fucked up at Gonzo Village, just keep going up D until you find comfort and joy and somebody will pat you on the head and let you pass out.
That is a very, very long bike ride that you are setting them on after being...
I'm not going. They can get lost however the fuck they want. I don't care.
A much better route. What you do is you go into deep playa and then you just don't come back.
Good. That's excellent.
That's advice. That's fabulous advice. Thank you, Payam, who doesn't exist.
Yeah. You now understand the meme. Fuck you, Payam.
Fuck you, Payam.
I am a figment of your imagination.
I do not exist.
I actually like Kim's description best. He is the Snuffleupagus of the burner community.
Lee, what's an interesting camp to find and explore?
Okay, so I was going to try to pivot for everything for the journey, but sitting outside waiting for this interview, I was on Scruff, the gay dating app. For scruffy gays. And some burner guy hit me up and saying, and I've been talking to him for a few days, and... he said he's part of Pink Fuzzy Monkey Camp at 915NA, and so I started asking him about his camp.
We don't have enough pink camps, right? We should have more pink camps.
More pink
More
camps.
Pink.
More pink, okay.
Yeah.
More
and,
pink says the gay man.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
So they do a black light... Sorry, I broke my glasses the other day. Black light twister device charging stations and dance... What does that say? I broke my glasses. Sunset dance parties most every...
Most every of the evenings. Wow, okay. his grammar is amazing. Hey, gay scruffy guy, your grammar's awesome. I'm judging you right now. Most of the evenings, they will be doing sunset
most
dance
of
parties.
Every of the evenings?
Every of the evenings.
Yeah.
So,
what does the blacklight part have to do with it?
You don't have to actually
They do blacklight twister.
Oh.
So, you know, black light twister at night.
Okay, what's the name of the camp again?
Pink Fuzzy
Fluffy,
Monkey, what the fuck?
Pink Fuzzy Monkey at 915NA.
Okay.
So, you know, right off Esplanade, 915NA, could be fun.
Is there still a gayborhood this year?
There is a gayborhood in the 730 corridor.
Okay.
Yay. Pretty near Uli Baba's.
Pretty much near Uli Baba.
Yeah.
Celestial Bodies is at that same little... thing there.
Cool.
Which is a good... Oh, wait. That question's coming up. I won't say. Recap.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Excellent. That was round one. We have three more rounds to go.
One. Oh, my God.
Oh, good Lord. You guys can go home.
Not if we keep drinking this wine.
I mean, we might be out soon. We'll have to switch to whiskey.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking tired. I'm not driving anymore.
You're all on your own. It's okay. We have Uber.
Everybody fuck off.
Oh, that's Little Bear pulling in.
Little Bear!
Oh, she's flipping us off already.
Yeah. Now this room is Miscreant Head Backcountry Heavy when she comes in the door.
I mean, it's just Miscreant Heavy.
Yeah, there's no bats here. Unless Owen walks in the door right now. Okay, so round two.
Don't lump this in with those assholes.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't dream of it.
Is there a risk of Owen walking in the door right now?
I feel like there's all that risk always kind of exists just a little bit everywhere I go.
Okay.
I imagine him hovering outside every door of any building I ever walk into. Okay, so round two.
Paranoid.
And I dream about him at night.
We're going to talk about that later.
Wow, the look on Arash's face.
Right?
I know.
He was kind of scared.
I know, too bad.
Okay, Arash, I dream about all my friends all the time, and it's only sometimes a sex dream.
Oh, only sometimes. That's disappointing.
Not always.
Well, you know, there's the thing. That look was going to be really amazing if this was in an audio-only show and nobody got to see it, so... I broke my own rule. Look,
is it only a sex dream when it's, like, the most awkward, like, that would never happen? Or is it, like, is it just random for you?
Oh, it's random. It's,
oh, see, because my sex dreams about our friends are only, like, the people that, like in waking life, they're like, oh, that's not a thing.
Oh, no, mine occupy all the categories.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah.
I will be thinking about that. Round two.
Meg's and Kim's sex dreams?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
That's a different episode.
Might have to do a whole show about that one.
Oops.
An art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend. Kim, go.
Ugh, I don't like this question at all.
Really? There's so many options.
I know. Oh my God. And so here's the thing. I'm gonna answer it. Okay. I'm gonna do the qualifier first.
Yeah. Oh Lord, just pick one.
No,
Meg.
Fuck you.
Hey, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Give us the floor. Give us the talking stick.
Do you like my talking wine?
No, thank you.
So they're wine drunk. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's right. Okay. It's okay. I mean, you're the one who did it to them.
It's true.
So, yeah.
I am responsible
for it.
I generally, you know, I'll think about, oh, I want to go do this thing at this time, or I want to go see this thing, and it never fucking works out ever. Yeah. And so I think I've really let go of that over the last couple years, that I'm going to make it to anywhere other than my own obligations at my own camp. So, and then any other, like, volunteer bullshit that I signed up to do because I'm just make bad choices and keep volunteering for things. But,
is your entire reason for not liking this question that you can never get your shit together enough to go to one? Okay, got it.
Yeah, totally.
It's just a personal complaint.
It. Yeah, it's a personal complaint that, like, I don't know. But so I did look at the list that you sent out, and one thing that I saw, for the honorarium, recipients was there's apparently somewhere out on the playa an installation that's a garden of fairies, and each fairy is different and they say mean things to you.
Oh, I saw that one too. That looked really fucking amazing.
I really, really like that.
That sounds amazing.
That, I hope I can find it. I hope I manage to get my shit together enough to find that, because I would really like to find some.
What is
you know,
it called?
I don't remember. But it was
scary
on the,
mean fairies yell at you.
Yeah, it was.
I love you.
Scary mean fairies. The name was something pretty benign, you know, like the fairy garden.
Right.
And,
the
but
unchill
when you,
fairies.
When you read the description, it's like, oh, they're all different. They all have different, you know, faces, and they say different things about, you know, sort of goes on about it. And then there's this line that sort of implies that they're going to be shit talkers. And so I want to go find the fairies and see what kind of bullshit
so are,
they say.
Are they like robots, or are people dressed as fairies?
No, it looks like they're a static art installation, and then there's Raspberry Pi programming that makes them interactive.
Okay.
And so.
And they're dicks.
And they're dicks. I mean, at least that's what I'm hoping for.
Right.
The description,
please let them be dicks.
Yeah, the description is ambiguous.
Because I gotta tell you, I would be disappointed if I found this art piece and they all just turned out to be just, you know,
normal
fairies.
Well, yeah, they're nice fairies.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping they're assholes.
Yeah. Talk shit to me.
Yeah, pretty much. I want some fairies to talk shit to me.
I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Kim likes assholes. It's how she can sit in this room with us.
She's taller than the assholes.
She tolerates assholes.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean she likes them.
Versus tolerate. I mean, these are different things.
You're looking deliberately for assholes on playa. Either you're super into anal, or you like ass. Holes.
There's so many spin-offs.
I'm
going to
stop drinking right now.
Oh, my God.
So many spin-offs in this episode that I want to do.
Famous last words.
I would like to point out that
Payam knows Meg doesn't actually ever stop drinking when she says she's going to stop drinking. Little Barry, who isn't even on this episode, is shaking her head at me.
Yeah, she asked, by the way, Meg asked for a half a glass of wine, and that's what I poured her.
And that was before this glass.
Why don't you pass that bottle over to me so I can have some more of the wine?
Why don't you have some more wine?
Okay.
So
all right.
I can't.
Payam, an art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend?
I'm really looking forward to the Deep Playa Reiki Yoga Conference.
Please be fucking making that up. Oh my God!
It's
please make.
It's gonna be baller as fuck. It's gonna be out there.
Oh my God!
I'm actually 100% serious about that.
No, this is a thing.
No, I mean, I don't know. Probably there is this one art piece. There's this one art piece though that I'm actually really looking forward to experiencing. It's called the Tree of Tenere.
Tenere.
Yeah. I figured all those accents meant something, but I ignored them. Anyway.
You're like, fuck that shit.
This is America.
Yeah, I don't speak Mexican.
Oh my God, I'm pretty sure that's not even Spanish. Whatever.
So it looks really fucking cool in the pictures, and I think that it's going to be really awesome to experience.
Yeah, Tree of Tenere is, like, fucking massive, and
I feel
like 60 people can climb onto
it. Yeah, yeah, and that's another thing, because I like to climb things at night that are dangerous, so that's
the most. And it has 45,000 LED lights.
Yeah, some of our friends have been
with
working
the refresh
on it.
Rate of 100 times per second.
Whoa.
So, basically, you stole my thing.
Oh.
Motherfucker.
Oh. We're going to have a beard off in a second.
Oh, shit. Here's why that's but completely that's okay. Okay. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure like you're going to have more information about it.
Yeah.
You should add onto that right now.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Please, and then I'll let you steal one of the four from my list.
Please give me the details, because I didn't get that deep.
So these guys are out of the Bay Area, and they're building out of Carlsbad, and actually they were at Desert Arts Preview, and we were at Desert Arts Preview. They had like 5% of the 300 projects that are going to be out on Playa placed. And we were there, and it was an amazing night to get to see all 20 of these people up there and interact with them. But they actually had a piece of bark in front of like this picture, and I was like, "What the fuck?" You know. And but this
piece, one little
piece that looked like tread it looked like just a little piece of bark, and I was like, what the fuck, this is really not impressive, but come to find out.
Catty gay artist man.
Yeah, that's me.
I know.
Call it like you see it. So come to find out, it's like hand sculpted. The whole friggin' tree is hand sculpted.
That's fucking awesome.
And right? So...
Hand sculpted out of what?
I'm not sure what it's sculpted out of, but...
Is it a metallic material?
No, it looks like fucking bark.
Wow.
It's really awesome. This piece...
Pretty sure it's paper mache.
It is not paper mache. It is... This piece is so legit.
Yeah.
I came back. I didn't want to talk about this piece, but I wanted to talk about this piece. I was so impressed. I'm like tingling right now, getting goosebumps. I'm so excited about this piece. It is the one thing that I'm like... I'm going to be running from our piece to that piece, from our piece to that piece.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm out there, because it has biometrics. They're going to have performances out there.
But is it? It's like what is it? 45,000 leaves, and then there's like 15,000 LED lights within the leaves.
15,000 LED leaves.
50,000 leaves. Okay.
Yeah.
And then like they're programmed to have all kinds of light shows, and like all kinds of programming's gone into it already. Mm-hmm.
They have open source software that if you're a programmer or even if you're not a programmer, it's live up on their website. Links, you can go and you can design programs for the lighting right now. We have a programmer, our lead programmer. I mean, I feel really impressive about this. She used to work for NASA. She programmed for the Mars rover. Those are our props. These guys are really cool.
Yeah.
They're next level. They're just like...
It's pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous. This is going to be the piece that everyone's going to come back talking about.
Yeah. Awesome.
And in the previous episode, I interviewed some of the leads from the Playa Players Collective, which is going to be a full orchestra and live ballet on Playa. And they're going to be performing in front of the Tree of Tenere on Wednesday night. And they made like this whole agreement, and like the lights are going to react to their performance, and it's all going to be a part of it and everything. And they didn't realize it. They were saying during an interview that like somebody pointed out that the very original performance of the Rite of Spring, which is the ballet that they're performing, actually was in front of a giant tree design. So it worked out perfectly.
Whoa.
That's it's going to be pretty epic.
Rad.
And the history of the Tree of Tenere is really interesting as well. I encourage people to go to the website, look it up. It is a tree that has a long history. It was in Africa. It had a long taproot that went down to a source of water. There were no other trees for miles and miles and miles around.
Super isolated.
Yeah. It was super isolated. People would come and drink coffee and make agreements there. And in the 1900s, late in the 1900s, some drunken person ran into the tree and killed the tree.
I hope that doesn't happen on Playa.
Some drunk in our car?
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it. I hope not.
That would be pretty...
That would be pretty poetic.
Yeah.
But this is the one thing that you will not miss, and it is going to be the... you know, the journey's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about this project.
That's such an artist crush, yeah.
Yeah, a total artist crush.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right on.
Total artist boner for somebody else's art.
I have another one that I want to talk about. that's okay.
Another art piece?
Yeah.
Sure.
I saw this one. It was a, I think it was an honorarium project called the Fellowship of the Grove, which, or Somnium Communis Silva, the Grove of Collective Dreaming. And it's basically like an audiovisual reactive experience in this dome they have out in Deep Playa. And it's like, let's see. As one enters the dome-like structure, they find themselves in a cozy forestry ambiance in which they create knowingly or unknowingly everlasting piece of sounds, glinting illumination, and visual projection on the canopy of the dome. So basically, it's for people that are in a very interesting state of mind.
Yeah, that's where I'm going
to
go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that seems like a pretty cool place to maybe like go and hang out while if you were in one of the aforementioned states earlier.
Maybe. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly aforementioned states. Don't do drugs.
You know what this reminds me? At Saguaro Man, my favorite thing Man was the vagina.
Oh.
There was, so at Saguaro Man, like, somebody was like, have you guys gone inside the vagina? And I'm like, where the fuck, where's the...
Hell
so
no.
So you go out. Yeah,
Leah's not. Leah's like, no vagina.
Leah's not gone inside the vagina. No, so we go out there, and there's, like, this dome out in, like, there in Saguaro Man's version of Deep Playa. And, like, you go, like, to the front of it, and underneath it there is like this perfect kind of like, it's designed to be boba, and you kind of like climb into it, and it's nice and warm and cozy in there, and there's pillows,
which is great because it was snowing,
and there's lighting, and you hear like a heartbeat sound while you're in there, and there's this kind of ambient sound, and that was like a place to just go hang out inside of the vagina and the warmth all night.
Wow.
Saguaro Man's version of Deep Playa, by the way, was about 250 feet west of our camp.
Yes.
But our camp was supposed to be, like, prime placement, too.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Deep Playa was, like,
another
I threw a stake
because
I was mad, and I think I hit the thing. So
I was wondering where our stakes were.
Those are my stakes, bitch! You and Romero didn't even fucking bring any! That's why I was mad and threw the
thing. So hungry, and we only had 3 stakes left, and you threw one of them. Okay.
And then Romero took a picture with a fucking hat and a maraca at the fence, and it was all kinds of wrong.
And I offended a lot of people with that.
It was so good.
It was good. Meg, that's an art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend.
Okay, fuck workshops. Fuck events, because like Kim says, you can't ever
get
to that
shit.
You just can't. I mean, you have every fucking noble intention of getting to whatever, and if you show up, it's completely random. However, the art on Playa is astounding. And because I'm that girl, I have a page of notes on 4 different projects. Go to sleep, Lee. The fuck?
This is my cue to leave. Bathroom breaks for everyone.
Everybody go away. Meg will just talk to them. And I'm actually going to keep it really brief on all 4 of these. These are all honoraria projects because fuck those guys for not taking my honoraria project.
If you'd like to learn more about that, check out We Failed at Arty, your previous episode.
It was a previous episode. Kurt and I yelled about things.
I didn't get an honoraria.
Dude, is this about you, Lee?
Everything.
Well, I'm trying to pivot.
Okay, shut the fuck up. So, I had criteria.
Mm.
I picked a project from San Diego that got an honorary grant. So, go Marco. The Shrine of La Santissima Muerte is bigger, better, and badder than it was at Utopia last year.
Someplace
in the fucking Playa. They've been welding the shit out of that fucker at CoLab for like 3 months now. Go check that shit out.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me today, they were like, which art piece was it? The one that had like a bunch of Spanish names in the title?
Yeah, La Santissima Muerte.
What is that?
I fucking don't know. Ask Mark.
Okay. It was in Utopia though?
It was at Utopia up next to the temple.
It was near the temple.
Uh-huh.
It's like
is the picture
do you remember Adrian's red
it's
LED lights?
Oh, right.
It was right next to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. It was gorgeous then. It's bigger and better and badder now.
Right.
It's
good.
So there's a project called Temporary Nature, which I have spent my entire life as a burner, however long the fuck that's been now.
6 months.
Explaining to people how the Playa is made out of sea monkeys. I frequently am treated with disbelief.
No, it's true.
It's absolutely fucking true.
It's totally true.
The Playa dust is made of sea monkeys, ladies and gentlemen. And this project,
find out,
Temporary Nature, is fucking fairy shrimp kite things on poles out in the fucking deep playa, talking about the temporary nature of what we do on playa.
Okay, hold on a second. You said right now there's a bunch of words that when put into a sentence did not make sense to me.
The playa is made of sea monkeys.
What are sea monkeys?
Sea monkeys are fairy shrimp. Brine shrimp.
Okay. So are they alive?
You lived in Iran too long.
Stop.
Yeah. 3 years.
Okay, so you've been watching all year about, like, people freaking out because the playa is underwater, because it's a lake. Because it's a fucking lake, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. That's what playa means?
No, playa means beach, but whatever.
Okay.
The alkaline...
I don't speak Mexican.
The Spanish.
Oh my God, we're all going to hell.
This is the most racist burner podcast I've ever been on.
It might not.
He's part of the brown people. It's okay.
He's brown.
Can say it.
Y'all two are brown, so it's okay. We're good.
This is why. This is exactly why white people are in such hot water.
This is factual. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Oh, you should have been with us at Saguaro, man.
Oh my God, no, that was bad.
Hot water like the playa.
Okay, so the playa is made of sea monkeys. The Black Rock Desert is actually a vernal pool. We have them in San Diego too. It's a lake that only exists.
Do, but they're much smaller.
Yeah, ours are like the size of your hand. It's a lake that only exists immediately after rain.
Okay.
And part of the reason we do all the playa restoration and all that other stuff is because it is a major way station for migrating birds. Because when it's wet, all of these dried out, desiccated fairy shrimp eggs that are buried underneath the playa, buried in that dust that we eat and drink in all of our stuff, they are rehydrated and they hatch and they mate and they make more. And so it's a very temporary lake full of food for migrating birds.
Like in a giant food bowl.
Yes. So there's actually a spot kind of over next to Rampart where the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Bureau of Land Management set up an information booth every year. And they go out a couple of weeks before the event with aquariums full of water, and they scoop up playa and they throw it in the aquariums, and you can go look at the sea monkeys.
Wow. Okay.
The playa is made of sea monkeys.
Okay. All right. So
what's
there's
the
art
project. It's called Temporary Nature. It's fucking fairy shrimp. It's rad.
That's so okay. Cool.
All right.
This one I selected because I'm grateful that it's there, because it meant we got to do something really cool from San Diego. So it's called the Temple of Awareness. And it is built by the Utah crew who normally builds E11's temple. Because they were so involved in this honoraria project, we had the opportunity to take Utopia's 2016 temple out and burn it at E11. So shout out to my Utah peeps. I fucking love you guys.
Hey, thank you, Utah.
Everybody should go check out their temple, because they didn't get to build one for their own burn because they were building this.
That's cool.
And the last one.
They let us burn ours,
and that was fucking baller.
Yeah.
And the last one I picked just because. That name, though. Oh, my God. There's a project out there someplace called Uncle Charlie's Red Hot Cock.
Wow.
Uncle Charlie's Red Hot Cock. Apparently, you can ride on it. Go find it and tell me what the fuck it's about.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's technically a chicken, but it's called Uncle Charlie's Red Hot Cock.
I think I got swag from them last year.
I'm just saying it
sounds really familiar.
I love that as soon as Kim heard the name of that project,
she
started
making
notes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I love you so much.
First thing that I was like, oh,
Uncle Charlie's Red Hot Cock.
Yeah.
It's out there. It got an honoraria grant. Please, somebody come home and tell me all about it.
I'm with it.
All right,
let's go check out Charlie's Cock.
Red Hot Cock. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, Lee.
Okay.
Do you need any glasses?
He doesn't have any glasses. He broke them.
I broke them. A week after getting new ones that I had broken the week before.
Oh, man.
That was really fun. Okay. So, there are a couple things. There's going to be a 40-foot tall pink flamingo out there.
I saw that.
And it's actually, those guys are funny fuckers. And it's going to be kind of cool. And they're going to have a grass lawn. Not real grass, but anyway, AstroTurf, and a white picket fence around it. So it's going to be kind of fun, so go check that out.
Shut up, that's fucking awesome.
That's
I love
great.
That.
It's really fucking funny.
Does it do anything?
It doesn't do anything, it's just there.
It's just like, okay,
go
yeah.
have fun.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah.
They were going to make it an art car, but then they realized that motherfucker's going to be heavy as shit, and they couldn't make it an art car, so
that's fucking great.
It's just going to be static. Then there is this piece called Flower Tower. One of the funny things that happened at Desert Arts Preview, everyone that got up just kept saying how tall their piece was going to be. Because
it's a dick war.
Oh, my God.
It was a dick war.
The size of my piece. My piece is so big.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Meg, can you like pronounce that first one in that list right there? That's the pink flamingo.
Fuck no, I can't.
Yeah, no.
Phonicopterus.
Give it to Kim.
Phonicopterus rex.
Yes.
Sounded good.
Yeah, I'll go with Payam's pronunciation.
Yeah, that's it. Phonicopterus rex.
Or Phonicopterus rex?
Yeah, like, I just got to
it looks like
fuck,
phoenix. Like,
yeah.
So that's it.
That's the flamingo.
That's the flamingo.
That's great.
Yeah. That's going to be out there. That's really cool. Check that out. It's really cool. Flower Tower is going to be out there. It's over 70 feet tall.
Oh boy.
It's really, really, really cool.
What the hell kind of heavy equipment are they using to fucking put that shit together?
It's a metal sculpture, and then they have these metal flowers that are attaching to it. The arches on this thing are Gaudi style, and it has flames coming off of it, and there's a platform 20 feet up.
I have a 70-foot flaming phallus with flowers.
It is going to be really, really cool. A guy by the name of Kevin Clark is doing that piece. It's going to be super, super impressive. He's done art on Playa before. I really recommend checking out that piece. Another piece you've probably seen because they've done just a phenomenal job on marketing and PR on this piece, and that's Gummy Bear Pyramid.
Oh my God, that thing looks hysterical.
It is. They're not using real gummy bears because that shit would melt, but they're doing, they did model after real gummy bears. They, and then they made fiberglass gummy bears and they're encased between plexiglass.
It's fucking hysterical.
And
gummy bears, great.
They, you can go inside. They're going to be performances and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, go check out that. And then, of course, come see The Journey. Come see us. If you have an art car, come by during the day.
Where's The Journey placed?
Out in Deep Playa. We've asked. We don't. Our projects never know where you're going to be placed until you get there. Huh. We've asked to be between 10 and the temple. So during the day, it's a quiet, reflective experience based on the seven chakras. So.
I love that we got you pronouncing that right, too, now.
Of course, after you corrected me the first time I started in.
Wait, what's the wrong way?
Well, it's not necessarily wrong. So everybody says chakra, and then we actually, when we did the Chantra episode with Amy and Sean.
Oh, is that
we had,
chakra?
Yeah, we had an email from somebody, like, from Austria, who's married to an Indian husband, and, like, she's like, you know, if you guys are experts on this, you should be pronouncing it correctly. It's chakra.
Snap.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, you know what? Now we're going to fucking pronounce this correctly.
Does Amy know this?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
All right, we passed the message along. All right. We listened to our viewer. We listened to our viewer mail. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Excellent.
One last.
Besides The Journey.
Methuselah, which is, it is a replica of the oldest tree on Earth. And it is a metal and glass sculpture that is being placed out in Deep Playa that is a replica of the oldest tree on Earth. And
who's
it's going to be absolutely beautiful
More
and
trees.
Stunning. Yeah, this Israeli woman and another man. And it is going to be stunning. And she is a very wonderful, gracious woman. And just get out there and check out these pieces. They are just going to be outstanding pieces of art out there on Playa.
Apparently there's a lot of trees on Playa this year.
Yeah, Playa's fucking turning into a forest little by little.
I like that we go out to this dried lake bed where there's no vegetation and people bring trees.
No, it's kind of rad, actually. It says a lot about, like, human nature, actually.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Sure does.
All right. Kim.
Oh, God. All right.
Round three-ish.
Round three. Fight!
A dance floor. Finish her. A dance floor to shake your booty at,
so much.
Or a bar to slam drinks at. Those are both things that you don't want to do.
I mean,
No dancing or drinking for Kim.
I wouldn't say that either of those statements are true. However, I think that there are certain things about Burning Man that I really love, and then there are other things that are not as much of a draw for me.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't usually go out in pursuit of either of those experiences. And so I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of bars, you know, it's kind of going to be where are my friends' camps, or like the camp that I was walking past when I was out for a bicycle ride with my friend Arash, or I guess we would have been bicycling, not walking past it. Right. But, you know, where you just kind of like happen upon something and there it is and you have an experience in the moment. I don't have anything that's like, oh my God, you need to go find this thing, at least not bar-wise. Except for Ulibaba's when we have events and we have open bar, then that's amazing. 730 Plaza, please come see us.
I love Kim.
So I would say in terms of places to dance, I generally enjoy... the Ego Trip Welcome Home Party, which is usually on Monday, or is always on Monday night, I think, if I'm remembering that correctly. The last few years, my camp has been placed in the 430 sector, and there's a camp, I believe, like around 430 in Esplanade most of the time, called Planet Earth.
Planet Earth!
I love Planet Earth.
It's my fucking favorite.
So, and it's small, and it's like an indoor, you know, wooden floor. Like, it feels like you're inside in some, like, dive bar, but they have, like, a pretty good 80s dance party, and I really
enjoy
that.
They have an
80s
night, and, like, I love mid-2000s trance, and so like they have a mid-2000s trance night.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I am not a connoisseur of EDM. Like, I don't give a fuck about DJs. I don't give a fuck about big bump and sound stages. Like, I just don't care. Like, I've been to District and wanted to, you know, punch people. Like, I've been to the white party at Opulent Temple, and it can just all whatever. I'm glad that other people enjoy it. It's not my thing. Yeah. So yeah, I like the dance
God,
party.
Me and you are going on a Playa Date to District because I would like to watch you punch people.
Right?
Oh my God, that'd be so fun.
Oh my God.
I want to watch
Kim
lose her shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually want to punch people.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, I think that those things are not my cup of tea.
Lee does want to punch people.
Okay, well, Lee, I support you in that, except unless law enforcement gets involved, in which case I'm out of there.
Just drops.
All right.
She drops you.
Like,
she's like, yo, you're on your own, homie.
That person's shitty. Go hit them. Bye.
Yeah.
See ya, outie.
Yeah.
Right. Like, not me, her.
Yeah.
Hey, a dance floor to shake your booty at or a bar to slam drinks at?
I read about this whiskey bar, Hardly.
Oh, yeah. They're mean.
Are they?
They are. You should go. You'll like it.
Okay.
You'll like it.
No,
I mean,
you will.
It's
you're going to appreciate their shtick.
I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, on the level with what we do at Bastards, okay. Except their bar is probably not on fire, and there's probably not...
Our bar is
really
badass.
Really, really red.
Okay.
It's usually on the 430 portal, and when I get placed in 430, it's like this big red beacon of a thing. And
okay.
Yeah, they're mean. They're like a mean whiskey bar that like just pours whiskey down your throat. You'll enjoy it.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great place to go. Great place to go when it's cold.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then dance floor, 2:00 and be gone.
Perfect. Meg?
Well, I have
Friday
to
say, night.
Friday night.
Friday night. Concert Village.
Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Definitely catch Brandon's set at 6 a.m.
There'll be Duckman at some point.
Friday morning.
Nice. Were you Brandon Vasquez for Moon Tribe?
No such thing.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
God, I hope I can book that guy on the show someday.
Whatever. Fucking DJs.
It's cool. Was he listening when I was saying I don't care about DJs?
I don't care about DJs either.
I don't
like
DJs, racism, all of it.
Okay, good. Here are all the things.
Brandon doesn't care about DJs.
I know. Right. Most DJs I know don't care about DJs.
Okay, yeah.
Except
good.
For themselves.
Yeah.
I got a second Kim on Planet Earth. It's the same fucking thing I said last year.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're going to go look for some place to dance, go to Planet Earth.
Yeah.
My favorite is the this band versus that band. Like, they'll do, like, a Bon Jovi versus... You know, Def Leppard. One night was Depeche Mode versus the Smiths, and it was the most depressing hour on Playa. It was so great. It was so good. I was so happy. So definitely, if you want to just dance and you do not give two fucks about which kind of EDM you're listening to, then that's a pretty good place to check out. And they've got kind of like a billboard out front that tells you what time they're doing what.
It's a pretty epic schedule. Like every night, there's all kinds of shit on the schedule.
If you're gonna drink, just go drink with my fam. Go down to Gonzo Village at 2 o'clock in D in the middle of fucking nowhere, and just drink with the fam. You can tell them Meg said that you should have whiskey, and they will fucking ignore you. So it's cool. There's
can I tell
two
you, by the
flaming
way,
bars.
I'm extra amused by the fact that you guys are at 2 and D because I feel like. I don't want to generalize too much, but I feel like there's a good amount of Sparkle Pony like concentration in that particular area.
Good.
Where are you,
Let's
Arash?
Fuck that shit up.
Who are you camping with, and where
I'm,
are you?
I'm
with 2 and E. Speaking of Sparkle
Pony,
I'm with Burners Without Borders. I'm at 245 and Esplanade.
Okay. Oh, in Esplanade.
Yeah. You guys are all gonna walk past.
I thought you were at Transformation.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the rest of the APs from San Diego.
Yeah.
I've never been with Transformation.
Don't be with Transformation.
Yeah. But, I mean, I end up over there at some point.
So 245 in Esplanade. Okay.
Yeah.
We actually have to hang out this time.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Okay.
We're doing it. Yeah. We were talking about this. Actually, we were texting about this. We're going to walk around, like, really play up the Persian card. It's going to be really great.
Yeah, I'm going to be, we're going to be drinking tea. He's going to have a handheld hookah.
Yeah.
One of us is going to have a kebab.
We got to carry around a carpet.
Yeah.
Probably try and sell everyone a car.
I had one that was like, entrance mat kind of, but it was like a fucking Persian rug entrance mat.
Yeah.
That's perfect. There's a Persian rug art car, isn't there? Am I hallucinating that?
Yeah, it's probably.
But is it
real Persians though?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to authenticate it.
If it's a car, yes.
Did you hear the part where I told Arash that you guys should try and sell everyone?
Yeah. No, I'm with that.
Oh my god.
We should wear all black and gold chains and walk around trying to sell everybody beer.
I'm bringing a suit.
I'm a really big fan of that. Kara did a thing where they went around pretending to be everyone's Jewish grandmother. I thought that was fantastic when they told me that they did that last year.
That's
beautiful.
Just walking up to people as their booby and just, you know.
That's so great.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I fully support... This is really good.
I would actually support one idea I have for a performance piece, which I like to refer to as the Angry Grand Mob. Which is
we never actually do that, and I always really want to.
And like, I think it just needs a little bit more planning.
I want it to happen so bad.
I think it's a performance piece. It's not up.
Oh my god, we got to also drench ourselves in cologne.
But like,
no, thank you.
Yeah,
it'll get ranted really fast.
We just got so sidetracked.
Okay.
Anyway,
Lee.
This is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of this is really important.
Important shit. Yeah. Lee, dance floor or bar?
Okay.
Or both,
sure.
Okay. I would suggest.
All right, so what happened was.
Midday drinking, do the naked bike ride on Wednesday, or is it Tuesday? I don't know, one of those days.
Whatever, ride your bike naked and drink.
Yeah, you go from camp to camp to camp and have a drink. It's a gay thing. Anyway,
let me ask you, that hasn't had any...
it's totally gay.
That hasn't had any hiccups new sheriff or Gerlach that took over that was, like, threatening to, like, arrest people if they were seen naked around kids or some shit? Nobody knows anything about that. Okay, don't worry about it. Continue.
Okay, I would suggest that or go to Celestial Bodies right there by Uli Baba.
There's literally a cricket sound, by the way.
30 Plaza!
Yeah. Celestial Bodies is great. You know, they have their standard drink. It's,
I don't actually even know what Celestial Bodies is. I mean, I know it's a camp I've heard of. What is their deal? What's their
They serve electrolyte vodka drinks. Oh.
So basically,
it's like having nothing.
Get fucked up and stay hydrated, you know. It's good.
It's super not how that works, but okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good. You hang out in shade, and there are always people there. They're one of the first bars to open. One of the last bars to close. Good camaraderie. Nice place to hang out. They're good people. And I've got to know some of the people from Disorient over the past year, so I'm really looking forward to hanging out at Disorient at night.
Not that
I'm a dancer, but I like the way they fuck up with the way you look at things. I'm really looking forward to hanging out there.
With it. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. We only have like 2 more hours to go.
Oh my God.
So
excellent.
I'm leaving.
That's all. Kim.
I've left 3 times already.
Payam doesn't exist, so he can't actually keep leaving.
I am a figment of your imagination.
Kim, I have question number 4. Like, you're going to answer this one, right? And not shit on it. Number 4.
I don't remember which one.
What is question number 4?
I think I was mostly worried about that middle one, about like the art or the workshop or whatever the stuff is that I don't have my shit together enough to do. I think whatever 4 was, I was okay.
Okay, it's a survival tip that is from your own personal experience. So, like, not just, like, yeast and hydrate. You know, like, something that's, like, very specific.
Can I give 2?
Sure.
Okay.
No. Shut up, Meg. Sorry, there's no voter against it. You can't
do 2. So the first one is for all burners with vaginas to be sure to bring all manner of things that your vagina might need on Playa. So everything from condoms and lubricant of all varieties to stuff to treat yeast infections, stuff to treat UTIs, stuff for if you get your period while you're there. Like, just fucking be prepared for anything and everything that can possibly go wrong with your vagina to go wrong while you're on Playa. If you're a person who, like, gets UTIs, go to your doctor and get antibiotics ahead of time or get the over-the-counter stuff. Like, be prepared. You don't want to be on Playa with, like, a UTI or yeast infection or bleeding all over the place with nothing to stop it. Well, not stop it, but catch it. So that's the first thing.
Is there a male version of those needs?
Like, when we get to me, I'm going to talk to you about Monistat, actually.
We're going to talk about my... Okay. All right.
Yeah, because that'll be useful for all sorts of things.
Okay, so the cream that is generally used to treat yeast infections in women's vaginas is also good for all of those weird wet skin rashes that you get on Playa. Like, if, you know, you get like a...
Because you're like wet and sweaty.
Like, because you're wet and sweaty and so you've got some rubbing action. That's actually an external yeast infection. Mm-hmm. And you can use the same cream. You can apply it just topically.
Yeah.
And it will drastically improve your comfort as you're walking around with like raw...
Yeah.
Icky, sticky
balls. And I would say even...
happens to balls a lot,
actually. To balls, yeah.
Before you get to that point where you have that kind of yeast or thrush, whatever we want to call it, things... Some people swear by stuff like cornstarch, which dries you out. Yeah. And then there's also the option of Body Glide, which reduces friction. So all of those kinds of things are good.
Yeah.
Basically, expect your body to just retaliate against you for being in this
Your body hates you for going to Burning Man.
Yeah. So
Why did you bring me here?
Because it's hell. Much.
So then the other survival tip that I have based on my personal experience is...
Can I cat sit?
Right? He's like, fuck this burn!
No, goddammitly, no. You're going to Burning Man. Fuck.
Yeah. Just be prepared to take care of your skin.
Yeah. Don't get a yeast infection.
Right.
Okay.
On your balls.
So my other survival tip
or down my
is...
That's...
Oh my
God. Hey,
something. I heard something down my urethra. My other survival tip has nothing to do with urethras. It has to do with, as somebody who, my second burn was very seriously injured and had to be medically evacuated,
You can hear that whole story, by the way, on Kim's episode of Burner Podcast.
You can. She also talks about Ulibabas. It's way early.
Yeah.
So there is an interesting balance between really embracing everything that Burning Man has to offer in terms of pushing our own limits across all domains. So physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, interpersonally, there are all sorts of ways that you can push your limits of Burning Man in ways that you can't in other places. And that's one of the things that I love the most about the burn, and that it is a space that by and large, we are free to do those things and have the kind of experiences that we want to have. And in getting seriously injured, one of the things that I realized is that at the same time that it's really, one of my values is embracing limit pushing, it's also good for me to know where are my limits, where are those lines, what is just past the lines where it is a good idea to push on those limits, and then where is it really, you know what, I know myself, I understand who I am, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, interpersonally, and where do I need to put limits in place that I'm going to honor and that I'm going to respect those things for myself, regardless of what's going on around me in my environment, regardless of what my friends and loved ones and partners are doing, regardless of, you know, what the people at the camp that I'm, you know, at their event are doing, to really, you know, no matter what kind of, experience I'm having in the moment, to stay grounded and to stay centered enough to know who I am and what my limits are and where I need to say no.
Yeah.
And that's hard because the thing about limits is we usually don't know where they are until we've past them,
yeah, and then we have oh shit, it was back there.
Dial it back, exactly. It's not until we can turn around and be like, "Oh fuck." But you know, so it's a work in progress. And yeah, I mean, just and I realize in a lot of ways that's a really kind of generic or vague, non-specific survival tip. But we all have limits, and we all, you know, ideally are going to Burning Man as, you know, people who know ourselves and understand who we are and what kind of experiences we're trying to have. And if we can set an intention ahead of time around the kind of experiences we want to have and the kind of limits that we want to push, and to be clear about that, because it's going to look different for every person.
Right.
And then and then honor those things that we have set out for yeah. ourselves.
To be able to directly and openly communicate with yourself about what those limits are.
Yeah.
You know, like, if this is a silly example, but like, if you can do, I don't know, 12 push-ups, go for 14. Don't right. go for 27.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe don't go for 12 on Playa.
Yeah, there you go. You know, if you go for your 14 on Playa, do it in the morning when you've, you know, gotten a reasonable amount of sleep and you're hydrated and yeah. an hour after you ate breakfast, not at like 3 a.m. when yeah. you've been, you know, up.
And I can tell you, like, I like to run. So, like, I am looking forward to, like, running this year on yeah. Playa with the marathoners. I'm not going to do a fucking marathon.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will go for a couple of miles just to get that experience. And then next year I might go a little bit further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like, you know,
reasonable-ish. Yeah.
Reasonable-ish, I think, is a good, you know, kind of personal goal to set.
Reasonable-ish.
Everything-ish.
Yeah.
Welcome to Burning
ish.
Man.
Yeah.
Try to be reasonable-ish.
Yeah. I mean, you, like, the thing about Burning Man is, like, you don't have to try very hard to have over-the-top experiences.
Yeah.
You don't have to push yourself you're going to have over-the-top experiences whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
So if you can ish
around
everything...
That feels safe.
That helps. I mean, it's not safe. It's just
it doesn't have to
slightly
be safe.
Less.
It has to be ish.
No, fuck safe.
Slightly
yeah.
less unsafe.
Yeah, safety third.
Yeah,
but not seventh.
For me, safety second.
Okay.
And that's with respect to physical safety. I'm now a safety second person.
You've got upgraded.
Not safety third. Yeah.
Perfect.
Safety third resulted in bad things for me.
She has live evidence of it: photos and broken bones and everything.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right, Payam. Survival tip.
Again, I don't know how I could follow that without something like not sounding as you know, poignant and also very comprehensive.
Yeah. You should just plug Gonzo again.
Yeah, so basically...
Alibaba's 730 Plaza.
Basically, I'm going to just, you know, standard life advice. Don't do heroin. Heroin's very bad.
Right?
Just don't do it.
Is that
ever.
Heroin at Burning Man?
Is that a gateway drug
I
hear?
I don't know.
Oh my god!
I'm just,
oh,
you know.
See, it's good like
you're gonna get dust all over the needle.
Stick
it
in my guns. Don't do heroin.
Yeah.
Just don't.
That's legit life advice.
Okay.
How about meth?
Meth is to me.
No.
No.
On the same level as heroin. Don't
okay.
do meth. Don't
okay.
do meth.
No meth, no heroin.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I think that about covers it. Bring
Should
extra
people
socks.
Randomly yell "fuck you, Pam" while they walk
bring,
around.
Absolutely.
Bring extra socks.
Yeah.
So many extra socks.
Bring extra socks.
Oh.
That's completely my survival tip, by the way.
Socks.
I have multiple pairs of shoes, lots of extra socks. There's my daytime socks and nighttime socks. That is huge.
And just don't do heroin.
And don't no
and
heroin.
Don't do heroin.
Socks, heroin. Got it. So you're like Lieutenant
Socks,
Dan's advice.
No heroin, no meth.
No heroin,
okay.
no meth. Okay. You got excited about saying
I got something. Excited about the extra socks thing. There was
yeah.
a trick that I saw. There's a great Facebook group called Burner Hacks. And
uh-huh.
so this is a little beyond survival. But so if you bring your pillow and pillowcases and stuff a whole bunch of pillowcases into each other, every other night or so you can take off a pillowcase and throw it with your dirty laundry and then you have a clean, fresh pillow to sleep.
Wow.
And so you don't have to like pack them separately. You just put a whole bunch of pillowcases on your one pillow.
Okay, I'm
you
there for almost
them
a month.
Off.
Right?
Well,
wait,
I don't know what to tell you, Lee.
I cover my bed with a tarp.
Yeah.
And then it's fine.
I do that too, but I really,
do we need that many pillowcases?
I get really excited about the fresh pillowcases.
Yeah.
They also make
I know that there are people
bag.
That are listening. Okay. Yeah, that would appreciate that tip. So
they make
that
is a good tip. And they make a lovely laundry bag so that when you're going through your buckets that you've now thrown all over the inside of your tent and you can't remember which underwear are clean and which ones aren't, the dirty ones are in the pillowcase laundry bag.
Yep.
All right.
That is
a
good tip.
Meg, safety tip.
Okay, so here's my thing, and this is like...
Survival tip.
Survival tip. If you don't... I'm going to talk to you about drugs that we don't do because they're illegal in Nevada. If you don't do it at home, if you've never done it before, the burn is not the place to experiment for the first time with something.
That is nice. Really
it's
that is
not
excellent smart advice.
No matter how safe you feel, no matter how much you feel like this is the great place to experiment and learn and find out about yourself, if you've never done acid, the burn is the wrong place to start. If you've never done heroin, if you've never done meth, if you've never done coke,
do not do meth. Okay. Do not do heroin.
Don't
at the burn.
Don't start.
Don't do something that you have no experience with.
That was actually one that I was thinking of saying prior to the heroin thing. But I'm like on board with exactly what that's
saying. If you've never done it before, the burn is not the best place to try it for the first time.
It is probably the biggest like urban myth type
thing.
That's the place to do it.
I'm
going to
go out and I'm
going to
try LSD for the first time, it's good. And this is not where.
Yeah.
Because you're already fighting for your life. You may not recognize it, but you are literally your body is trying to shut down from the minute you arrive on Playa.
Yeah.
Everything about this particular environment is not safe for human habitation. The alkalinity. The dryness, the heat, the extreme cold. I mean, you're talking about like 40, 50 degree thermometers some days.
Right.
All of these things, the dehydration, the lack of caloric intake because you're going to forget to fucking eat. All of these things, your body is trying to shut down already.
Yeah.
You're already fighting for survival from the minute you get there and set your shit up.
For instance, right now it's 8:25, meaning it's 9:25 in Gerlach. It's 92 degrees there.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Whoa.
It's
motherfuckers.
What?
It was 100.
Yes.
It was 108 earlier today.
Yeah, Burning Man's not in a different time zone.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? Wait. What? We changed time zones?
You go to Mountain Time Zone.
Are you serious?
When you enter the state of Nevada.
This is going to be my seventh burn.
And
I didn't know that.
Do you watch your watch the whole time you're at Burning Man?
I didn't know those sea monkeys.
Yeah, and sea monkeys and time zones. So that's just my advice.
We educate.
We all go there knowing that we want to party on some massive level.
I don't know. I'm upset about this.
Just being there and not being dead is a pretty massive level. So if it's something new, something you've never done before, the burn is most likely not the please don't do it there best place for that new activity that you've never partaken in.
According to Google, Gerlach, Nevada is in Pacific
time. It's the same time.
Okay.
You're correct.
I thought I stand corrected.
I'm sorry. Meg was saying really important things, but I just couldn't let that shit.
Wow.
That's cool.
I stand corrected.
I was really like... I was gonna need like a moment there.
I thought I didn't change time zones until I crossed the
definitely different border. Temperatures though. I mean that's important.
That's important. That's true.
It's a dangerous place to go. So
maybe a glass of water.
Treat it respectfully.
I have some water. I'm gonna sip it quietly.
Right.
Treat Burning Man respectfully.
That's excellent advice. Lee, survival tip.
My survival tip is. No sandals, no open-toed shoes.
I wear flip-flops on play all the time.
Me too.
What a winner.
From my experience, nay. I did it for one day, in camp, and it was not good. I'm a redhead. Mm. I have fair skin. Mm. If you fair skin... What's that? And no soul.
Lee has no soul.
I have no soul. We all know it.
Not even because he's a ginger.
Jay Good has made special necklaces for me just because I have no soul. But anyway, take care of your skin.
Playa foot thing is interesting because like we've definitely like you talk to 50 different people, they've had 50 different experiences. Mm-hmm. I've just never experimented with it just to be safe. Because you see pictures of Playa foot, you're like,
oh no, and it can
my
be really
feet cracked,
bad. But...
My feet cracked, and they were a mess for the whole week, no matter what I did. I lotioned them. I kept two pairs of socks on. I kept them in shoes the rest of the week. The best experience I had was the year that I wore boots the entire time. They had 4-inch platforms on them the entire time. I had nice, heavy, all-cotton socks on the entire time. They were leather boots. Blessed be.
Beautiful.
So take care of your skin. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you are going to be on your knees, down in the dirt, down in the playa.
Lee's on his knees a lot out there.
I'm building this year, so I'm going to be wearing gloves. I'm going to be wearing elbow pads. I'm going to be wearing knee pads. Even though I'm going to be wearing long sleeves and long pants, I'm going to have elbow pads, shoulder pads, and gloves on just because I don't want to come back to camp with cracked skin and out there for over 3 weeks. It will not be pretty for me.
No.
So take care of yourself, peeps.
Skin. All right. Guys. This has been such a fun episode to record.
Woohoo Podcast!
So happy that exactly this particular crew came by. It always works out perfectly. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all the amazing advice you gave. Gosh.
You guys are fucking rad.
We know.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Gonzo Village. Gonzo Village. 2 o'clock D.
Don't come to the banana stand. It sucks. But if you do, make sure Meg buys me a case of 99 bananas.
And when you go by, please make sure that you sing your favorite Tori Amos song.
I love Tori Amos.
He loves Tori Amos.
Me and
so
Tori
much.
Are like this. You can't see, listeners.
But he's doing the thing where you're crossing.
But he has one hand making a circle, and the other hand, just one finger out.
Yeah.
That's exactly how what I did. I'm not even going to deny it. Yeah.
He's doing the finger into the whole thing. Yeah.
I'm a disgusting pervert.
Oh, God. We are grown-ups doing important things.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Still feel like I'm at work.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Fuckers, we'll all see you guys in the dust. Please give us a like on Facebook and join the Facebook group. I'd love to see some more interactions and discussion happening there so that we can use that as inspiration for topics that we can cover on this very show. And please, please, please leave us a review on iTunes. I know some of you guys are doing it. We need more. It helps get the show more visibility so that more of our tribe can be a part of this conversation. All of the links are over at burnerpodcast.com. You can connect with me on all the social medias at Mr. Arash. That's M-R-A-R-A-S-H. I am the most active on Facebook and Instagram, but you can tweet me and stuff as well. Burner Podcast is released on the first and third Wednesday of the month and is available on Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio, among others. The show is not hard to find. Shout out to all of our staff, absolutely not limited to, but we do appreciate the Burner Podcast team, which does include associate producers Denise Lozano, Tori Massey, network music editor Navjit Sarna, who does also produce Burner Podcast Presents Alkaline, and of course, Super Sues out of the Bay Area, working tirelessly to bring you our sibling show from up there into the fire. All these links can be found at burnerpodcast.com. We do thank you, dear listeners, for all of your support. You are fucking wonderful. I love your messages. I read all of the emails that come in. You are amazing. They keep us going. And our opening theme music, America's Horse with No Name Remix, is produced by Joman. Check out his music over at soundcloud.com/DJ Joman. So until next time, love and light and all that other crap. Good night.